Hi, everybody. Welcome to AITA Pod. I'm Danny Vega, joined today by the lovely, lovable Sarah Levine, folks. You know her. You love her.
Wow, thank you so much.
Everybody goes crazy.
Love it. Wow. I do deserve this.
I don't know. I'm just trying to inject some joy here, Sarah, you know.
Love it.
Life is good. It's sunny. I got my window open here. I have my AC. We recorded the last episode with no AC on, guys. And I think it was one of the worst things that's ever happened to me, which.
Yeah, that's not good. I was in the office today and I was like, damn, it's hot. I go to over the thermostat. There's a Post-it on it. It was 11 o'clock or something, or like maybe noon. We couldn't turn on the AC until 2:30 because they were recording podcasts straight through. And despite the fact that at our first office, it was a gigantic problem because we couldn't turn on the AC in the recording studio and it was a sauna, they nonetheless still built a podcast studio in which you cannot turn on the AC because it gets picked up. I'm like, we had two problems with that first studio. One of them was solved. It used to have a glass door and not be soundproof in any sense. So that one was solved. But I'm like, you guys didn't solve the other big issue with the podcast studio.
We have the technology. I mean, come on.
I'm sure it exists somewhere, right? I get that it's tough, but like, whew, I was like, oh, this is rough.
There's got to be a better way.
Right. Someone has clearly thought of a way to air condition a podcast studio without it picking up in the mics.
Imagine you go on Joe Rogan, the biggest podcast in the world, and it's just hot as balls in there.
That's what I was like about to say, but I was like, should I use him as an example? But like, still, I'm sure someone's figured it out.
Joe Roganism. I mean, it's, you know, it's part of our culture. Is he a negative force? I don't know that I would go that far. You know, he's platformed some terrible people. I guess that does make him a negative force.
He platformed the Proud Boys. Like, yeah, he's a negative force. Yeah, big time. Like, he had Gavin McInnes on his podcast, like, so many times.
You know, I really got mixed up because this is actually a tale of many mix-ups. So one time I went to this show, and the show was called The Macaulay Culkin Show. And that's just what it was called. It was like a funny thing. And it was at a venue called Shea Stadium, which is not a stadium.
What?
But rather like a warehouse-ish venue in where else people except Bushwick, okay?
Wait, so, no. I already hate it.
How many layers of wrong names do we have
here? That's fucking
confusing. It was so confusing that there were two tourists there, and they said... Oh. Do you know when Macaulay Culkin is coming? And had to break to them. I was like, oh, in Brooklyn, the sense of humor is like random celebrity thing. Like, he's not coming. He might even be dead. I don't know that he's alive.
And they're like, and when do the Mets play?
Oh. Yeah. Well, and I see why they were probably deceived because they saw the address, but then they saw, well, yeah, it's Macaulay Culkin. He's famous. And it's at Shea Stadium. Makes perfect sense. So I really felt for them.
I'm so sad.
And then some guy did a bit that bombed. And I believe the bit was that he was making fun of Gavin McInnes. But I didn't get it.
Solid bit.
I missed it. I was very confused. And so I thought he was Gavin McInnes. And so I was like, this guy sucks at comedy.
He probably does suck at comedy, to be honest.
He probably does, but it wasn't him. So none of the naming at this entire event made any sense.
Yeah, what?
It was utter chaos.
Oh, my God. So, I'm confused.
But yeah, anyway, I mean, look, platforming Jordan Peterson, ironically, is the only good platforming that I endorse. And we did it. Yeah, I mean, I actually kind of wanted to bring something up with you. You can steer me away if you want. But, you know, it's weird. I think I was thinking about you because you're doing stand-up now.
It's on one open mic. But, yeah.
You're doing stand-up and you post tweets and you're a podcaster and you're an introvert. So that's a little bit of a con, but I'm a little bit of an introvert, but you have a great fear in your heart, you know, and it comes up every now and again. And, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, can you expand on that?
No, I feel like you should. You're bringing this up.
Well, you know,
like
that
you do the dirty work.
Well, sure. I mean, because I understand it. You know, I understand it. It brings me tremendous grief and, you know, malaise and anxiety when people criticize me. But, you know, it's never what I expect, usually. That's one thing.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I feel like we've agreed on this rule where it's like, if one person sends you an angry email, that's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah, but you're still going to think about it.
I did. I thought about
right?
the crocodile
you're
tears
think about
one.
It. You're going to feel bad when you read it. It'll go away.
Right, but like I can't let the haters keep me down, you know? Not to say that sincerely, but here I am, you know? Because like we were talking about, you know, we didn't cover Depp Heard, and we were talking about that. And like, I actually thought your reasoning, which I wanted to have explained. And so I appreciate you explaining it because, you know.
And I'll explain it to you now, like, yeah. I and for everybody, because here's the thing, like, I feel like there, and I participated in this for like a while, like, I feel like there is such a rush to have a take, to get your take out there immediately. And I feel like, especially in like a trial involving domestic violence or like even with the Oscar slap, like, it's just, there's so much information that's probably going to come out that's going to change that I am at a point in my like life where I'm not going to rush to get out a take just for like clicks and just to have it out there.
Right.
If like, I don't think I'm going to stand by that take a few weeks, months, years from now, you know, like, and that's just what it is. Like, and I think that whole rush to like have a take, and even like people are making jokes and like, you know, like, I think it leads to a lot of like knee jerk reactions and misinformation because, you know, a lot of these things are complex and you actually need to like, first of all, I didn't watch the trial, so I can't even say that I sat with the facts. But like, if I wanted to have an opinion on this trial, then I would have done that. And like, people, you need to like digest things and take the time to like consider a variety of viewpoints. And you're not doing that when you're just like coming out with a hot take just to get clout.
I know, and I love it. I think it's the culture of hot takeism, and it's definitely out there. I mean, entire websites are predicated on this, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess I wanted the explanation because what you're espousing is responsibility and humility. And I was concerned that it came more from a fearful place that we would get canceled or something like that. But I think your reasoning
is
great.
There's certainly a fear of like Johnny Depp trolls or whatever, but like, it's really just more, there's like, in a lot of these situations, there's like complexities that I'm not an expert on, that I can't speak to, that I haven't lived. So it's just like, it would take time for me to feel like I understand all those complexities and, you know, just to discuss things in the moment. I think there's with any like hot take celebrity event, I feel like there's always like stuff that comes out later or like elements of it that people are like, wait, but have you thought about this part of it? And then you're like, ah, shit, I didn't, you know, even with like Bad Art Friend, like, we didn't read all the court documents, and like, then we looked like stupid idiots. But,
you know, I'm so happy you brought that up because I actually DM'd Dawn again to do the pod, and she ghosted me
again.
Yeah,
you gotta leave her alone, man.
So, no, that's it.
That's funny. But yeah, even with Bad Art Friend, it was like, oh, this is the information that you have on your face. Then if you read the additional court documents, which I think in our defense, you had to like download them off Pacer and like pay for it. It wasn't just like publicly available. But, you know, if you read those court documents, you got a different picture. So I think there's just always the internet now, I think, has made things, and like even digital journalism, I guess, has just made things so black and white. You have to choose one side, like it has to be this. If it's not this, it's this. And I don't think that's true a lot of the time.
Shades of gray. The world is shades of gray. And I think another point that I was talking about with you privately about Depp Heard is the algos. And I actually think this goes very much with what you're saying, because we are in the hot take-ism era. And I started watching clips, and, you know, from my perception, you know, one side was winning very clearly, and all the clips I was being shown were that side. And I had to specifically type in the close, because I was like, I want to see something from Heard's side. And I bring this up only to make the point that in our TikTok world, in our YouTube world, I was on YouTube. I'm on the YouTube drug, not the TikTok drug, but
nice.
These algorithms will feed us what we want. And it's difficult to rein that in and be like, the truth is something very different here. And the truth almost invariably does. It was like, I was fortunate I had that impulse, but like, it's very easy to go into a wormhole where, you know, all these people agree with you for all these different reasons. And you really can't even imagine that someone could see things differently than you. We had the anti-vaxxers, and you know, the power of misinformation is just tremendous, you know, and the bots, you know, the bots are part of our lives now. The scam bots.
It's crazy.
The Insta DMs. I mean, I would say a third of my Insta DMs are some bot, you know, and I mm-hmm. talk to the bot. I like to, hello, bot. How you doing? I like to know a little bit what scam
bots
they're trying.
Bots are people too. Wait, no.
Thank you. And but no, I mean, it's just, it's wild, because you could go in with any harebrained theory, and then there is content made by people, and there it is all in front of you. And now all of a sudden the earth is flat. And
I mean, like a QAnon, you're going to come for me.
Well, I don't know. It was about pizza, and I didn't really, I just checked out. I check out. I mean, I guess that was the other thing I want
to
bring up.
I won't explain QAnon to you on this podcast.
Let's not do QAnon.
But it's better that you don't know. But
yeah,
it's,
Q is like the leader or
whatever.
It's just
another thing that's so ridiculous, but people like firmly believe it, like with their, to their core. There are people out there.
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, it's funny
it's
to me
like
the
dangerous.
People, it is dangerous. The people who think Trump won still, there are those people for like so long. But no, I was actually curious.
Yeah, it's funny, except they tried to like overthrow the government.
Right.
All right, everybody. It's time for Guess the Verdict. We're switching it up. I'm going first. This is Danny's strategy to maybe win. Just kidding. He just gave me something nice. Okay. AITA for telling my wife she should have written it, parentheses, it being my kid doing summer band, on the calendar.
What the hell did you just say? One more time?
Yes. I'm trying to like reword this in a way that actually is a sentence. AITA for telling my wife she should have written my kid's band on the calendar. Band practice? Band practice.
What the hell?
Does that help?
This was so different than what you initially read. Give me the original title one more time.
Okay, I'll give you the original. I'll give you my version. AITA for telling my wife she should have written it, parentheses, my kid doing summer band, close parentheses, on the calendar.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so he told his wife she should have written something. I mean, because he forgot to do something. So I'm saying YTA.
Wow, folks. Okay. Yes, YTA is right.
Hell yeah.
OP sign has band practice, 7 to 8:30, whatever. And basically, the OP said the wife should write it on the kitchen calendar so she wouldn't forget to take him to band practice. Band practice is at 7. OP gets home at 6:50, notice she just put dinner on the table, and OP is like, did you forget about band? She said, yes. He was like, did you put it on the calendar? She was like, she forgot. And then OP asks the son, did you also forget? He said, no, I was waiting to see if mom remembered, basically. And then the son also is like, she should have written it on the calendar and he shouldn't have to remind her every week. And the wife asked why OP couldn't just take him. And this guy is some like associate pastor at the church or something. So, I mean, whatever. He was busy. He had a prior obligation. But the OP asked AITA for saying this. The top comment was, YTA, your son's learned a valuable lesson. Don't wait for other people to remember your important commitments for you, let alone sit around and wait for them to notice you need something from them instead of speaking up.
I don't even know if I was right about what happened.
What did you think happened?
I thought the husband forgot to pick up the kid, and I was like, well, you should have written it on the calendar, so he was being shitty. Oh. But
he was being shitty, but it was like the mom forgot about band practice, and he was like, well, you should have written it on the calendar. And the son wasn't like, hey, mom, I have band practice. He was just doing that passive-aggressive thing of like, you know, let me just wait to see if she remembers.
What kind of weird game is that?
Yeah, I hate that.
What the heck?
I hate that. Every time I try to do that game, my resolve breaks, like, every single time.
Just tell someone that something's happening.
Just communicate the thing.
Would I be the asshole for banning guests, even though it's something I know my wife enjoys?
Banning guests, even though it's something my wife enjoys. Sorry, I'm trying to fix my glasses here. Okay, do the guests ruin the house? Like, why wouldn't he like guests? Is she like literally in labor right now? That doesn't seem possible. Okay. Banning guests.
She's not in labor. I will give you that clue. There's no labor involved.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm just going to go with like a rogue ESH. My ESHs are always rogue, I feel like.
ESH is wrong.
Damn it.
But it's kind of close.
Okay.
So
I'll take it.
This is actually a really weird situation. So Opie and wife, they have a big house with what they call a mother-in-law suite. I don't know if that was really like a joke, like put the mother-in-law there, but I guess it's like,
I feel like I've heard of that term before.
That term?
Just kind of like a guest room.
Yeah, it's a guest room and it has a separate side entrance.
Cool.
So sounds like a pretty
maybe that's it.
Good setup.
For
now,
the mother-in-law.
Yeah. Wife is a stay-at-home mom. And he said that they don't really split things equally, but he works. And then they have like they have cleaners who come twice a week. So,
wow.
You know, it didn't really
They're
seem
living the life.
Yeah. The way he painted it was, you know, it seemed like a pretty equal thing. But here's the kicker, Sarah. And I never really heard of this lifestyle. People over all the time.
Sounds like we're in the Regency era and you're like, I'm going to call on Mr. Darcy, and you're just constantly calling on people. Like, that's what it's reminding me of.
I didn't follow that, but did Darcy stay at this house for a week long?
Wow, so they're running an unpaid Airbnb.
Yeah, in fact, it's so crazy that the husband said, listen, can we cut a deal here? How about 1 week of people, 1 week of no people, and she accepted the compromise.
God, now, every other week they have people. That's horrible.
Now it's summer, peak season for this pseudo Airbnb.
Peak
people.
Where do they live?
By a beach. And OP feels bad, but now he kind of wants to renege and say, you know, I'd really like it to be 1 week of guests, 1 week of no, or sorry, that's what it was. Then he wants to go to 1 weekday a week and 1 weekend a month. And he's wondering, you know, is this allowed after we already got this compromise? Mastodon Middle, 3883 writes, no assholes here.
What?
I got tired just reading this post. I prefer to have no guests in my home. Both of you are no assholes, but you have different energy levels. She has already compromised, so do not expect her to turn it off more. She loves people and hosting, apparently, and does most of the work. But talk to her and then be ready to listen to her needs.
I think 1 week a month is fair. Like, every other week is just...
1 weekend and 1 weekday a week. So I guess that comes out to about a week a month.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot for overnight guests. It's one thing if you're hosting dinner parties. I think that's kind of fine and pretty, like, unintrusive, but to have people be staying over all the time. Also, I mean, whatever, I don't want to be a dick, but like, she's a stay-at-home mom. I feel like that's a lot of extra shit for people.
Well, she's bored, so she loves the people. I guess that's her whole energy here. She just wants people around.
Oh,
you know?
I just mean they're like buying so much extra shit for people.
Yeah, I hope he didn't bring up the resource aspect.
Whatever, they have two cleaners. I think they're fine.
They're good.
So jealous. Okay. Well, here we go. For none of the marbles. AITA for refusing to call my daughter by her nickname.
Interesting. This classically is a very open and shut case. You got to call people by what they want to be called. What kind of weird nickname could she have? Like, fuck you, dad? And then he doesn't want to...
That's my nickname. Just
fuck you,
guess.
Mr. Carlson. You know, I don't understand how he couldn't be the asshole. But Reddit is very clever, you know, and I feel like she's up to no good. And you never hand me anything easy. It's very rare. I'm gonna go NTA.
Oh my god, folks! Wow, he did it.
Whoa!
He saw through my trickery. Wow, and I'll tell you why I chose this one. Because do you remember the listener submission we did about like Elizabeth, who didn't want to be called Liz? And her parents never remembered.
Yes.
Or like,
yes.
Who wanted to be called Liz. Her parents never remembered. So we have an update from her. So we'll get to that in a second. But I saw this and I was like, is this Liz again? Like, come on, Liz. Or is this Liz's dad? It's not. So OP has two daughters. He calls them Katrina and Catherine. So whatever.
Oh,
that's not
my
their real
God.
Names.
That's already obnoxious.
It is obnoxious, but those are not their real names. So Catherine is older. Catherine has always been called Kat. And Katrina has always, like, copied her sister to the point that OP, I assume his dad, I actually don't know, OP has had to, like, talk to Katrina about it multiple times. Kat went away to college, and then once she did, Katrina insisted on being called Kat. And OP was like, you can pick a new nickname, but you can't literally steal your sister's name. And OP had a family reunion with Kat when Kat came back from college, and the aunt came over and was like, oh, Katrina, you're so tall. And Katrina was like, actually, I'm Kat now. And the older daughter, Kat, fucking flips. And basically, OP was like, if you want a nickname, you can go by Trina or something else, but you can't use your sister's nickname since basically birth. And essentially, OP asked. AITA. The top comment said, this is funny. The top comment said, NTA, it's a pity the names aren't really Catherine and Katrina, because then you could agree to call your younger daughter Copycat.
Oh my god.
Oh, I didn't even get a laugh out of that one.
I got really confused. This is overwhelming for me.
They have very similar names. I don't think they really have similar names, but it was confusing to say it out loud.
Oh, he gave them the nickname for the post.
You could call, if the younger daughter, if their real names were Katrina and Catherine, then the younger daughter could have been just called Copycat if she insisted on being called
Cat.
Oh,
I get it, because Copycat, Cat, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Cat
all
and
right.
Copycat.
All right, well, I was
all
too,
right, that
bombed. I was too, no, it was a good
we
joke.
All...
No, it was a good joke. I was
okay,
wrong.
I didn't make the joke, so.
Sometimes the audience is wrong, you know? AITA for asking my dad's girlfriend to wear a bra around the house.
God, I have to feel like YTA. Yeah, I'll have to go with that.
YTA is right.
Okay, whew. I was like, what trickery could this be? I couldn't think of any trickery.
Dad's girlfriend lives with us along with my siblings. It's my dad's house and she moved in. I, 18M, have noticed that she sometimes doesn't wear a bra around the house. Makes me uncomfortable.
Oh my god, as you do when you live. Good grief.
I asked her if she could wear a bra because it makes me uncomfortable. At least this guy is straightforward.
Yeah.
She responded with no because it's her house. I don't think what I asked is too much to ask, AITA.
I mean, it is a lot to ask.
It's a lot to ask?
To wear a bra 24/7? Hell yeah.
So going braless, this is normal.
It's comfortable. Like, would you want to wear a belt all day, every day in your house when you're trying to relax?
No, I don't often wear a belt.
Me either, but still. Yeah, so that's the best analogy I can
think
of.
That's good. I understand that.
We did it.
But,
yeah, no, it's just like, yeah.
I mean, can I say one thing? Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Is it legal to ask, you know, but what if her boobs are really big?
I think you can just, like, I don't know. Like,
he's an
18-year-old. But then what is, like, the fear, you know?
That he's seeing her tits.
I mean, I don't know. People can and have made the argument that, like, breasts do not need to inherently be sexual.
Right. It's legal to bear your breasts in New York. Is that correct?
It definitely was true. I feel like it's still true. Like, I feel like we would have heard about it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't. So I think you can make that argument. I'm like, I also think that, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if this is like your stepmom, I don't think you're, I think you can separate it. Or just avert your eyes.
What if the kid is like 15? Would you still maintain this position?
I probably. I don't know. I think asking someone to wear a bra all the time in their own home is like kind of a lot to ask. You know, what if I'm going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I have to put on a bra in case you're seeing? Like, people should be able to relax.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't feel like it was that exact ask. Anyway, top comment, YMMV-butt.
What?
Right. It's not women's responsibility to dress in a way that makes you comfortable, YTA.
Yeah, that's fair. I just also think it's like, again, a big, like, what if she was like, hey, can you wear jeans all the time in the house? Like, you know, if he wanted to wear basketball shorts and she was like, hey, no, I actually need you to wear like jeans all the time. Like, that's not really a fair ask either.
Let me try this. Let's just say I had a big dong. I don't. But let's just say I had a big old.
Oh my God.
Knee knocker. And I like to wear like little like pajama shorts, you know. And you know, you could see this ding dong around my house, and I'm a stepdad, you know. Wouldn't that be inappropriate?
But I think even if you're not wearing a bra but you're wearing a shirt, it's not like your tits are hanging out.
Yeah, that was my next kind of question here, because
like sometimes
if someone's wearing a tight shirt,
they'll go rogue out the side. But if that's not happening, if the titties are not loose, like,
and you're
just wearing a shirt and you're, well, they're loose, right? But they're not like hanging out.
Yeah.
Like,
if it's a loose shirt, it's really not that revealing, right?
It's not. It's not. I mean, I think if nothing's like poking out, then I think that.
So you draw the line at poking out.
What?
You draw the line at poking out.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I wouldn't wear a tank top that, like, goes, like, certain tank tops are cut, like, really, like, big on the side that you get side boob.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be going braless with, like, heavy side boob around my step kid, I suppose. You know, like, I think that's maybe a good analogy to your dog hanging out the shorts.
Yeah.
But, like, here's another, like, if you, whatever, had a big dick and you wanted to wear gray sweatpants around the house, like, that would be okay. Like,
why is it gray? Gray?
Gray is just the meme. Gray sweatpants.
Oh.
You can see everything.
But you don't, you think that's okay? A man
if
walking
I was
around,
like, hey, can you never wear sweatpants in the house? Like,
because our 15-year-old daughter can see your dong? I would say, like, yeah.
That, I mean, then
I would
what
say
do you
that's
expect?
Reasonable.
To wear, like, jeans all the time and not be comfortable.
Well, there's
like
other clothes besides gray sweatpants. I mean, I don't know. This just feels, you know, if there's a grown man with his dong clearly outlined in his gray sweatpants in front of an 18-year-old, even I would say, you know, find something else to wear, bro.
I guess maybe this is just not a good comparison.
Well, no, I think we agree, because braless is too rigid. It's really like, I don't want to see the shape of your boobs. Like, I don't want to see the shape of your dong. So wear a loose shirt. That seems like a very reasonable compromise to me.
Yeah, I mean, this guy would just wear underwear under his sweatpants.
Yeah.
Presumably.
There's like a gap between, I've never had a big dong, so I can't speak to it. I wouldn't really know how to handle that. Let me say this about the mediums and the small dong people out there. It's convenient. You know, it doesn't get me in any trouble, really.
Oh, trouble.
So, but I think I'm getting this. It's the braless. Revealing, I feel like revealing would have been more fair, because it's like, I don't want to see what some say is a private part in a certain cultural context. But in our culture, I think it's fair to say tits are sexual.
Yeah. I mean, it's also the thing of like women with small chests like myself go braless all the time and like nobody
says
shit.
No one can tell.
Nobody says shit. Exactly. Yeah. So that just feels like not really fair.
Well, I hope I don't get canceled for that.
Low key, same.
I already have a small penis. You gotta
I think my belt analogy was the best, I will say, because
I thought the dong was more on point. Because a dong is a flaccid penis. Is that really sexual? If someone sends you a picture of a flaccid penis, I don't know if that's sex, really.
I mean, nobody wants that, I think.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody won. I don't know.
Anyway, I won Guess the Verdict.
I know. Woo!
Weird
dongs
tangent.
Or not.
Wait, so you had an update. We got an update here. So
we did.
This was from, yeah, this was from Liz. She wanted to be called Liz, but her parents adamantly called her.
I don't think that was her real name, but yeah.
Elizabeth, for the sake of the situation. Liz writes, wait, Liz is what she wants to be called? Yes. Liz writes, I was nervous to hear you read my sitch on the pod after reading the comments on the Facebook group. Not all were rough, but it kind of stung to see the ones that reminded me that my parents were older and wouldn't be around forever and suggested I was being petty or suggesting my dad might have dementia. I was already feeling bad. I know my parents are getting up there and I felt awful not calling as often as I wanted, but I would just experience so much dread when I try to call. Sometimes I truly just couldn't. That's why I was asking for advice in the first place. And I can see how it might seem like with only the context I gave that my dad's age, early 70s, that dementia is possible. But truly, my dad's behavior is not any different than it's been my whole life. He's jovial and well-intentioned, but also self-focused and oblivious to other people's situations and struggles. When I said it seemed like he just didn't think it was important to remember my name, I really meant that. And it does seem like that was the case. I was surprised at how well you two both read him. Nice dad,
oh, dad.
But just not getting it. That's my pop. I took your advice of telling him via a Facebook message to him and my mom about how important
classic dad. That's so fucking
dads
funny.
Dads love Facebook. FB message how important it was. And I offered that he could call me kid if he didn't want to go Liz. And in retrospect, why it didn't bother me in the same way as a kid to not be called by the name I used by him. He never called me Elizabeth back then. It was always kid. That was enough to clue him into the importance of this. And the next time I called, he started calling me Liz, and he has ever since.
Yay.
Truly, your podcast does impact lives in good ways. Aww. Aww.
Danny's going to cry.
Thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt and encouraging me to do the same for my dad. If you ever do a LA show, I bring you both the best cookies I can find.
Cookies. Damn, we have to get cookie chip catering at our next show. Can we do that?
Will they let us? But Sarah, you're in trouble now because I forgot. But you are getting called out.
People are
DMing me and you promised.
Wasn't it one person?
No, it was two. It was two or three, actually. I got follow-up DMs, and I was going to out you repeatedly, but then I was like, okay, I don't want to cause. But
that's
let me. Sarah promised.
Can we refind the cookie recipe?
Yes, we have. I have this. I can find it. But let me say this, people.
Send me the cookie recipe.
I numbered all of the episodes. I put a number next to any episode, and critics have said, Danny, why the numbers random? They're not random. It's because
they
can't
be random.
Those are bonus. Those are bonus episodes for the missing numbers. And I put, but beyond that,
What? What do you mean they're bonus episodes for the missing
Because
numbers?
If there's like 310 and then the next one's 312, well, 311 was a bonus.
But you don't put 311 bonus?
Well, they don't see the bonus because they're in the main feed.
Oh.
So the only way.
I see how that is quite confusing.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of intentional to be like, see, you're missing part of it. Anyway.
Oh,
reminder,
I like it.
We are paywalling the podcast in 2023. So binge those eps, people, because they are hiding behind a paywall.
So funny. It's like 2023.
Soon.
You have to get a real ID so you can fly domestically. You got to get your eps in.
Very important year,
2023.
I also, and somebody documented this, they need to come out of the woodwork because I told D'Erica, one of our wonderful supporters, that I would buy her the ice machine. She told me about the ice machine. I said I'd buy it for her in 2 years.
Shit. Is that coming up?
I mean, I said
like
it.
Scott's Tots energy.
I said it 2 weeks ago and I'm good for it.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's so nice of you.
It was actually awkward because I was like, I'll buy it for you, but you have to stay a patron. And then everybody got all quiet. And then I was like, oh, I ruined that. That was like a nice moment that I just ruined everybody.
Oops.
but anyway, Sarah was called out. This is what I wanted to say. Numbering the episodes, I thought I did this so that people could Danny, this funny moment I heard in episode 111, it was so funny, this thing you this
no,
is my fantasy.
No.
And what was this actually used for? Danny, in episode 212, at
literally
34 minutes, you said a sentence about dogs, and I am so fucking angry.
Actually,
I
think that's a direct quote.
This is what blows my mind, is that people
I'm
will
like,
be
I
so...
I don't even know what I said last week. Like, you gotta give me more context than episode 143.
Well, you're being generous, Sarah. These messages are for me. And they will, this is what blows my mind. They'll go, I listened to 100 episodes, but on the 101th one, you fucking said a micro statement in a way I didn't like, and I am done with you.
Actually, your odds are pretty good, I think. That's a good, that's like not a bad track record.
Right.
One out of every 100 things you, one out of every 100 hours you talk, you make one weird joke or comment that offends one person in a specific way.
It's crazy. I mean, I offend my friends once every 4 hours, roughly. I use the podcast to calculate that. I just pissed off Sarah and I have to edit it out of this app. Anyways, what was I saying? So yes, we got a message. It was around episode 150. I can track it down. You promised that you would make these cookies. So
I did. All right. Just send me the recipe again.
There we go.
Give me a deadline.
There we go.
Actually, I
people.
Could probably do it like this weekend. Give me a deadline and give me the recipe.
We will find it. We will find it.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's get into this thing. Our second story of the day is AITA for wanting to go to a music festival, even though my grandmother is dying. Really? Tough. Coachella just passed. I mean, how important could it possibly be? What festival is this? But first, people, AITA. Oh, please rate, review, subscribe, share the podcast. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/AITAPod. We'd really appreciate your support. We still have free stickers. Guess what? The next round of free stickers is getting very close to done. And if you're a patron, you will be the first to get the new stickers, and they're a lot better.
Yes.
I designed the first round, and I'm not a designer, but the second round is sexy.
You did a good job.
Thank
we
you.
Had our Bay Boss new over there in the font.
Yeah. We've moved now. Now we're Futura heavy crowd.
Love
anyway.
It.
AITA, if my mom refused to help me take care of my baby while I go back to work. I-29F asked my mom to help me take care of my newborn so I could go back to work once my leave is up. Mind you, my mom, 64, has been a homemaker, stay-at-home mom since 1992.
Thank you for the math, OP.
Very specific. And hasn't been part of the workforce since then. She refused, saying she's too old, that she already raised her kids. She also added that
Fair enough.
Really wanted this baby, then maybe I should have thought about staying home like she did to take care of it while my partner goes to work and provides for us like a traditional family. And that if she and my dad were able to work it out, so can we. However, we're just coming out of a pandemic, going into a recession, and there is no way me and my partner can make it financially on one income. I make $55,000, but have $39,000 in student loans plus $20,000 in other debt. My partner makes $36,000 and has $5,000 in credit card debt. As the breadwinner, I have an obligation to go back to work since not only I have the most at stake, I also make the most to keep our family afloat. We're currently in a small one-bedroom apartment in a metro area, and we need to save money to move to a two-bedroom once the baby grows up. When I explained all the above to my mom, she then proceeded to say that she will charge me $20 an hour for each hour she takes care of the baby, plus late fees if we are late for pickup, and must provide her with a car seat, stroller, bottles, and pretty much double of everything we have at our home to compensate for taking the baby to her house. She will not step foot in my house for her own personal reasons. She's come in once, and I've lived with my partner for 5 years. She's a 15-minute drive away.
Yikes, Roni.
I want to save money to bring down our debt, and I don't want to pay her as much nor invest as much in double of everything, as it will spiral into more debt. I'm on the fence about enrolling my baby into an infant daycare instead, as the cost will overall be lower and a little closer to our home. Due to our jobs, we cannot work from home, so we are in desperate need of childcare. Everyone else in our family works full time, so they can't help. So AITA from wanting my mom, who again is at home all day long. Trust me, she does not do anything besides watch TV and cook meals to take care of my baby for free while me and my partner try to fix our finances.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I'm just like, as someone who is taking on a lot of debt, I'm like, how do you even have any money left over for literally anything when you basically, when you literally have more debt than you make per year? Like,
and
I genuinely
is,
am like, how do you take home any money at the end of your paycheck? Like, I genuinely would like to know.
I probably don't. They're eking by, you know?
Jesus.
I mean, this is tough because, you know, I usually espouse this thing of, you know, the duty of the parent to the child is unending and lifelong. And I maintain that, you know, your parent, if you have a kid, it's not done at 18. You're not done at 18. That's your kid, and you got to be there for them. But I don't know if the rules apply to your kid's kid.
I'm glad you said that, because I was like, I don't think that you're now obligated to raise another kid when you're at retirement age. Like, I don't like that OP shit talking her mom for not doing anything all day. Hell yeah, she earned that shit. She, whatever. She raised you for 30 years or however long. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's like she's 64. Like, let her have that. Let her be 64. Don't talk down. Like, that's some kind of flaw.
100%, you know, and we've been talking a little bit on some bonus eps about just the state of the economy. I mean, it actually really kills me to see the opposite, you know, because, you know, not to go this route, but here we are, you know, inflation is really high. And like, I went to the coffee shop the other day and an old woman was making me a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think she's doing that for fun. You know, if she was, that'd be great. But like, I think that a lot of people are in hard times, and, you know, maybe this is a crazy theory, but like, people are dating less now. I just read a study. People are having less kids. And why is that? You know,
I mean, I think it's scarcity. Like, if you can't afford it. Yeah,
exactly.
I think I don't like the way that mom said it of like, oh, you should have provided a traditional family. Like, I don't like that comment, but she is right. Like, you took for granted for, like, how pregnant is OP? Like, you took it for granted for, like, 9 months that your mom was just going to provide you free childcare? Like, that's not smart.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mother's rigidity is a little hard for me. And my concern is that a lot of the boomers don't understand that this is not the same America. It's not. Like,
right.
It's now America on like expert level difficulty, and most people are struggling. And like, you know, it's
That's
like
true.
It's just really expensive to be alive. It really
it's
is
facts.
That fucking simple.
And
shelter
is $15,000, so it's not even cheap to be dead either. So
I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, you know, when it's shelter, you know, we can't afford shelter, people. And the kind of like complexities of this have sort of, you know, obscured this very simple truth. It's like people can't afford the roof over their head, or they're spending half of their fucking income on the roof over their head. I mean, there was a time when I would be like, oh, I'll just move to Phoenix, Arizona, and I'll be fine. Cause they, no. You can't anymore. There's affordable housing is like, I don't know where it is, but it's not in the places that are desirable to live for the most part. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think all this is reflective of the fact that like, here's the thing too, that's so crazy to me. It's great now because women are working and women are more empowered than ever. And we've been told this is a great thing, but here's the other side of this. Despite that fact, despite now that most houses have two adults working, people are not wealthier than before, you know?
Right,
now
right.
It takes two just to own a fucking house.
Right.
It used to be one fucking dude worked at the factory and the whole family had shelter and prosperity. And this is how fucked it is.
Right, right. And to be clear, I know that you know that that's not feminism's fault. And I just want to put that out there for the listeners.
No.
So it doesn't get taken the wrong way.
No,
it's like,
you.
That's how bad all the other circumstances are.
Exactly. Well, I think it can seek to obscure that fact because people are like, yeah, women are all working. And it's like, yes, that is good. Women should be allowed to work or not work. But the fact that they have to work in this economic situation isn't really great. It's actually bad, you know?
It's so fucking bad. Stress.
Yeah.
Stress. Okay, here's what I'll say. I don't know. What was I going to say? I don't know. This is all just very stressful. But the thing is, I get like helping out and I understand it's a boomer mentality, but I also kind of see a lack of respect coming from OP of just like assuming that your basically retired mom is going to just provide free childcare for you all day. That shit's not easy. Like, you never asked her, you just assumed. I wouldn't like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're both being shitty. I mean, I think the mother is being so rigid and so ridiculous about this.
But here's the problem is, like, I feel like you can't really compromise on this. It's like, you know, it's just like she either has to, like, agree to do it all for free or not agree at all. Like, I just feel like she can't agree to do half of it. I just feel like that's going to be a slippery slope where they're just going to depend on her all the time. I kind of understand.
Did you think this whole thing with the double of everything, double the bottles, double all the equipment? I don't know.
I think she just means that she doesn't have to go out and buy her own stuff, right?
Okay. No, I could go with you on it. And I certainly agree that this person.
Yeah, no, it's not double, but it's just like, you know, you have to give me a car seat on the days that I'm taking the kid. Like, I'm not going to buy my own car seat. I'm not buying my own stroller. That seems pretty fair, right? Oh, wait, I'm pretty much double of everything we have at our home. Well, that I don't get, because why can't you just use what you have at the house?
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little ridiculous, her demands, but, you know, I'm with you, but I want to read
this.
It also
seems like they don't have a good relationship, because this mom hasn't set foot in her house ever. So it's like, that's kind of a lot to ask someone who you might not have a good relationship with, like, and maybe you should have thought of a different way to play this. Instead of like, hey, I'm down to the wire and I need you to do this free job for me.
A top comment on Reddit says, YTA, why did you have a child if you can't afford to take care for it? And why have you now made that your mother's problem? Wouldn't you find it frustrating if someone felt entitled to your free labor when you had other things you wanted to do? Jeez. And I think that's valid. But I also wanted to point out the fact that people aren't having children as much because of scarcity, because of the shelter issue. It's kind of like, yeah, like every single person who came before you had a child, like every single one in your lineage. Like, this is what we were built to do. And we were not made to have children when we're 45 and finally have enough money and everything is dandy now because we've been working in the workforce for fucking 25 years. So, like, I don't know. I wanted to say that because I view this post very much as a sign of the times, and it would be easy.
Yeah, well, and also like a very big, like, individualistic attitude, because like they say it takes a village for a reason, right? When it comes to raising a child, like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
I get it. But there's so much of like our culture that is just like, well, I'm not going to go out of my way even a little bit to like help somebody immensely. And this is not that situation. This is her going out of her way a lot to help a lot. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me. I do read mom as a bad mom. She hasn't stepped into this house. I guess I could be OP picture painting, but I'm like, mom never comes over, that, you know.
It seems like they have some kind of a fraught relationship, even though OP hasn't said it, which is weird, because I also feel like if you don't have a good relationship with your parent, would you want them watching your child all day while you're at work? Yeah. But it does seem like she doesn't respect that her mom has been a homemaker. So, there's dynamics that I'm picking up on.
Wow, OP got absolutely obliterated here. Negative 1,000 upvotes. You don't see that every day, people. They write, I've had reproductive issues for the past 9 years. I didn't know if having a child was possible. I always wanted to be a mother, and this is my miracle baby, and I'm going to take the chance now if I can't have any more in the future. I'll never know when I'll be able to afford one in this economy, and maybe that was selfish of me.
Jeez.
But the baby is here alive, and I will not be giving it up, as he is my child forever, and I will accept the consequences of my action. Thus why I'm asking this question, if I'm the asshole.
Jeez.
You know, I think...
I get it. I totally get it. It's just like a hard... It's like a hard, real problem. Like you said, reality is real.
100%. You know, and like... For women, the timer is a little shorter, right? Like, you know, I mean, how old can a woman have a kid, Sarah? You know,
there is a woman on, you know, Real Housewives who's like 42 and just had a baby. So who knows? But it really depends.
Yeah, but it does, you know, it does get dicey.
Riskier.
It gets riskier.
Yeah, it gets riskier.
You know, and it's like, it's bullshit.
Especially if you're having issues, like, yeah, no, don't. I get it. Why you wouldn't want to give up your child. And yeah, I think the people who are like, don't have a kid if you can't afford it. It's like real, but it's also just like so dismissive and rude to say that.
It's in our nature to have children.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's tough. It's kind of the problem.
It's kind of the whole fucking point. And we live in a society that is making that economically unfeasible for most people. Like it's getting rough out there, you know, and so Ultimately, do I think it's irresponsible? Of course. I mean, I wouldn't have a child unless I felt very comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
But who's comfortable? Nobody's comfortable now. Everyone's anxious. We're all a mess.
Right.
You know? AITA, if my mom refused to help me take care of my baby while I go back to work, I mean, playing it strictly as it lays and getting out of the kind of broader context, I guess I can say YTA, but honestly, my read here is that this is an absent mother. I don't know what her problem is, and either OP's picture painting, but I don't really like this mom either. This is a very uncaring and unloving way that she responded. It didn't really seem to have any heart.
I mean, I think that if OP hadn't pushed, there would be no assholes here. But because she pushed, it's a YTA for me.
Yeah, no, I'm in for YTA. I don't want to try to go to conspiracy town, but ugly sitch. Wow, this did get serious. What happened? Rate, review, subscribe. Join us on Patreon, patreon.com/AITAPod. We'd really appreciate your support. Free stickers, much love. Here we go.
AICA for wanting to go to a music festival even though my grandmother is dying.
Jesus.
Brutal. Dark City, population 2. I-22F has been wanting to go to this specific music festival since I was 14 years old, but it's extremely expensive and also far away. It just so happens that a friend's sister had 2 tickets but can't make it and is willing to give my best friend, like her sister, who's my best friend, and me her tickets for free. Mind you, these tickets are expensive. I'm talking $1,000 plus expensive. What festival is this? And it just so happens that we have the resources and time to make the trip and go. This is literally my dream come true. There is one sad problem, though, and there's no way to put it lightly. My grandmother is dying. My grandma was diagnosed with cancer exactly 2 years ago. She pursued treatment, but they made her feel worse, and the cancer has progressed. She's been in hospice care for a few months now, dealing with pain management. Very recently, about 24 hours ago, she's transitioned to a constant pain medicine via IV drip. The festival is in 10 days. It's a 4-day-long event and also a 10-hour drive away from my home. Oh, I think they're talking about Bonnaroo. I told my mom I had plans on going and got screamed at, called a selfish, heartless bitch, ooh, and shocked her at the fact that I could even think of doing something like this while my grandmother is dying. She said, "How could you possibly have fun right now?" I, of course, don't want to risk anything, but this festival is my absolute dream, and this is a pretty rare opportunity, but I also, of course, love my grandmother and want to spend time with her as well. If anything were to happen while I was at this festival, I would, of course, get the soonest flight home. Am I really a selfish bitch, like my mom said? I just don't know what to do right now and need some advice. This is 3 days ago. I think maybe this was Bonnaroo, but whatever. That's not the point. Unless it's not in the U.S., then I don't know, and I don't think the tickets are that much. Here's the thing. This is tough. I feel like whatever money you may have saved on tickets, you're now going to pay on a last-minute flight home if it comes to that. So I almost feel like the money argument doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
They're
saving, like, let's say $1,000, well, on the tickets.
Well, if.
Right, if it's true. I mean, I'm kind of like, would I even be able to have fun worrying about what's going on at home? And the answer is like, I mean, maybe, but I would still be like kind of torn between 2 places.
Did OP say the grandma lives there?
What?
OP said grandma lives at home? Grandma lives
I
with
just
them?
Mean like it's a flight away.
Yeah.
They have to fly for the festival.
I mean, listen, guys, I'm gonna be real here. I wasn't very close to my grandparents. They were in Florida. I was raised in Arizona. We saw them once a year. You know, from my point of view, I guess my thought is if I was dying, and I've thought I was dying many times.
You were right. It was with your appendix.
Yes, you're right.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah, I got that one right. But 99.999 times, totally wrong. Most of those times on planes, I don't like when I'm on a plane and I don't know the sounds. I know the sounds of my planes, but there's a couple planes where I'm like, what the fuck is that sound? Is that the whole we're all going to die sound? But here's the thing, Sarah. If I'm dying and I'm a grandfather, and then the kid is like, I want to, or sorry, that's me. I'm dying. And then the dad, I want to go to Bonnaroo. I don't know why he's five going to Bonnaroo. That's not appropriate.
Because he has the pwingies.
He has the pwingies. So I would be like, go, let me just go do your life. You know, like, I don't know. Of course you would.
But then I also feel like that's shitty to put that on your dying grandparent. Like, of course they're going to tell you to live your life.
Well, because you should. You should. If there's someone you love and you want to be there with them as they die, then be there. And that's obviously what the mother wants, but you shouldn't force someone to be by someone's bedside 24 hours a day. She doesn't care.
No, I mean, I think it just depends on, like, how close they are, because it's like the festival's going to be there next year. You're not going to get that time back. It's really just like, okay, so it's a 10-hour drive, so whatever. But I still think you would end up like, whatever money you've saved on the tickets, you would end up spending some money if you have to take a last-minute flight home. But it's also just like, you know, free tickets might not come around again, but, like, the festival will be there. You can save money. Like, you know, there are ways.
But grandma might be there, too.
To a payment plan.
She might die. I mean, I'm not really sold on the money aspect, you know?
Yeah, I just feel like that's OP's reason for going, is like they couldn't otherwise afford it.
And there's an edit here. They write, I forgot to mention my mom also has a camping trip at a cabin planned for the exact same weekend. The difference is I'd be 10 hours away and she would only be 2 hours away.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
You think OP's lying?
Yes. Like, that is so relevant and obvious that I think if that were the case, they would have put it in the original post. Like, givemeabreak.com.
You know, I'm sorry, but Sarah, I don't think any reasonable person, I think whoever wants to be by your bedside when you die is who wants to be there. And I think the fact that the mother apparently called OP a selfish, heartless bitch is utterly sickening. I thought what you said was very reasonable.
Yeah, that's crossing a line for sure.
What you said was super reasonable. This, I feel, is a reasonable thing for a parent to say. Hey, I know you want to do this, but I'm going to tell you something that I've learned, and I urge you to take this to heart. Your grandmother will never be here again. You love her dearly. Bonnaroo will be coming back, and you will regret it probably for the rest of your life to not spend this time with her. I'm just warning you.
I wouldn't say you'll regret it for the rest of your
life,
because that is borderline manipulative.
You may.
But yeah, for sure.
It's possible.
Yeah. I also think to give the mom like a tiny bit of grace, like, you know, your parents are dying. You probably want your kids around.
But that's not what she said.
I get it.
It's very difficult for me to come for OP and any mother who calls their child a selfish, heartless bitch is really not going to come back for me. That does not sound like grief. By the way, she hasn't even died. That sounds like unchecked rage and control.
Okay, that's not how things work.
I don't know. I think that's so vitriolic. That's really ugly to me. Cartris writes, I mean, we have talked a lot about the grievers, but I don't know if we can call mom a griever. I think that's reaching for me.
I think when you know someone's dying, you start grieving it. I think that's like,
she's on constant pain meds. She's been in hospice for a few months.
She's in hospice.
What's hospice mean?
Hospice is like they put you there to die. Like, you don't come back from hospice.
That's dark. That's
brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they say that?
This is not like she's in the ICU or something. Like, she's in hospice. Like, you don't come back from it.
So hospice is kind of the last kind of hurrah.
Yeah. Like, that's a hospice. Like, you go there to be comfortable.
Well, when you put it that way. Average hospice stay.
Are we fact-checking this now?
78 days.
Yeah.
And she's been there for a couple months, so she's statistically dead already. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so harsh when you put it that way.
Oh, my God. Nonetheless, top comment. No assholes here. Your mom is grieving. You're dealing with a difficult choice. And death sucks for everyone. Everyone will have raw emotions here. All right. I guess, but calling your daughter a heartless bee, I mean, Jesus, man. As far as which to choose, if your grandmother dies while you're at the event, how will that frame your experience? That's a good point. Imagine you're like rolling balls on ecstasy and you get the call.
No.
Grandma's dead. I actually have a story about that. We'll circle back. Will you be able to enjoy it knowing what is going on? How will you feel later looking back? That's probably more informed by your relationship with your grandmother and her preferences on the situation. Maybe talk with her. She may be happy for you to go and send her pictures of this rare experience. Grandmas love a fucking picture.
True.
I think talking to grandma is real, is valid. Oh, OP responded. If she were to die while I was there, or if she was in her last moments, I would absolutely catch the soonest flight to come home without a single hesitation. And of course, my friends with me would help. I'm definitely going to talk to her when I visit her this week. I have all this week and next week off work.
To me, I'm like, honestly, be an adult, make your own decision. Don't put this on your dying grandma. That's my take.
No, like, it's asking her, grandma, you know, is it okay if I go to this thing or would you rather me be here? I want to do what you want me to do. Is that unfair? I feel like that's reasonable.
To me, I feel like it's a little childish, but.
Why is that childish to ask someone what they want?
Because, like, I don't know. I'm sure grandma's dealing with a lot, her mortality. And, like, I think any good parent or grandparent would say, like, oh, you know, have fun, blah, blah, blah. But, like, is that what she really wants? Like, why are you putting the pressure on her to inform your decision? Like, I think you should just make it and live with the choice.
And just tell, and don't tell her or tell her?
I don't think I would say.
AITA for going to Bonnaroo.
Because it's like, hey, grandma, should I go to this festival even though I know you might die? Like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't put that on her.
You think you're going to die, grandma? Like, how, like, I don't know.
Yeah, what are we, like, 60-40? Like, what are we talking?
Yeah.
What are our odds here?
How much morphine are you on, grandma? I don't know, but it's that bomb shit. Tell them to crank it up. I'm getting fucked up. Nonetheless, AITA for going to Bonnaroo and saying, fuck my grandma.
We're going to get a cease and desist from Bonnaroo. I feel like that's funny. It might not be that festival.
I guess, I don't know. I kind of want to ding mom, but I'm going to give her a griever pass. It's hard for me to do that. And for these reasons, I'm kind of leaning no assholes here.
Yeah, me too.
All right, people. Please rate, review, subscribe. Please share the pod. Tell your friends. And join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/AITAPod. This Discord, I'm still learning things about Discord. It's popping off in there.
What was the voice memo chat? I accidentally ended up there and it was like an Instagram live with nobody. Right? The voice channel where you... No?
What are you talking about?
There was like a channel where I thought you were telling people a story via voice memo, so I went to what I thought was the channel, but it was like a chat room.
We're outing ourselves as boomers here. So there's voice channels. So we went to the voice channel, Sarah.
But yeah, nobody was there.
Oh, I forgot my story. What was my story I was going to tell? When did I say that?
Something about like your grandma dying while you were rolling balls at Coachella.
Oh, yeah. So my grandma was dying and I was rolling balls. No. So I had this friend and... yeah, he was like my best friend when I was like in fourth grade. And like, I really just like love this guy and all this like horrible shit happened to him.
Jeez.
Like he was like really good at like extreme sports, you know, like X Games kind of shit.
Oh shit.
And he got dinged with a fucking BB gun. Someone shot him with a BB gun in the eye. So he only had one good eye, just like an idiot firing a BB gun at a skate park. And he told me this story, which, God, I don't even know if I can share it. Let me just high level it. But basically, he lived near Vegas, and there's this giant hill as you go into Vegas. And he took ecstasy, right? They would go, you take the E right before you climb the mountain. And so... when he got off the mountain, he got a phone call that someone very close to him had passed away right as he was rolling face. And he said it was like the most fucked up thing. Cause it was
horrible.
His body like couldn't
breathe,
you know? Yeah, exactly. It was like, it couldn't feel the right emotion that he needed to feel. It was really crazy.
Wow, that's horrible.
But yo, if you're out there, hit me up, brother. I still think about you, man. I love you, bro. Anyway, weird side note. Our sponsor today is weird friends you lost contact with. Anyway, would I be the asshole if I reported or changed my rating for an Uber driver for proselytizing? I-36F suspect I probably would be, so I probably won't. But nevertheless, I'm looking for advice here. Okay, poem opener? What the hell is going on, OP? Because this just feels wrong, and I don't want others to get hurt. Today, after dropping me off at Costco to pick up a prescription from the pharmacy, adding this detail so no one thinks I'm doing a full-on Costco run in an Uber. Hey, I've done it. It's not illegal. My driver was like, let me get the door for you, which was odd because I'd already opened the door. But it was a Tesla, and I know the doors can be tricky, so I figured it was out of habit. But before I could think another thought about it, there was the driver handing me a religious pamphlet. He yelled, Jesus is your savior.
Oh, no.
Then sped off. So he opened the door for her to get out and then handed her the pamphlet?
Yeah, to get out.
Okay. It was clearly
a pamphlet. And then it was like, the power of Christ compels you. No, that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's for a more extreme case. It was clearly a pamphlet promoting a very fundamentalist form of Christianity, which I'm familiar with because of my ex. And I know enough to know it's harmful and homophobic. I'm not personally triggered.
Honestly, we don't even need to know that. Like, you know, without those details, it's still not appropriate.
I know for others, this sort of thing is triggering. And it feels officially gross because it happened on a Saturday in Los Angeles during Pride Month. Would I be the asshole if I reported this person? I left a $3 tip, the middle option, which is the only time.
Opie is like me, like at, I don't know, in any service capacity. It's like, yeah, I almost got poisoned, but like I still tipped 30% like this person.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
This is so funny.
They gave him five stars. Because
five fucking stars.
I think he could have done a 4-star on that one. Can you leave
easily?
A yeah, I think he could. I think that could be a ding there. It's not appropriate to push religion on someone. But
no,
I'll,
it's not okay at all.
Though they could argue the ride was over, which I have to say, if they were out of the vehicle, you know, it's kind of a stretch. But
well, that's fucking sneaky. And then you're playing the semantics game. I would just let Uber decide that.
Is it because it's religious though? Is that the line crossed? What if it's a band? Come check out my
band.
That's
annoying then.
It's annoying.
Same as like if he wanted to go on a political rant, like also no.
That's unprofessional.
Yeah, it's just not what you're like in the Uber for. I think it's also not fair to do that when you literally have a captive audience. Like they're exiting your vehicle. There's nowhere for them to go. You're pushing a pamphlet in their face.
I think you would be an asshole though if you reported someone for promoting their band or something. I mean, come on. You're really going to live your life like that if it was a band or something artistic?
I don't know.
Would I be the asshole if I reported or changed my rating for an Uber driver for proselytizing? Well, consider you gave them a perfect rating.
I'm like, OP, come on.
You know, would I be the asshole if I didn't tip them $100? I mean, OP, I think you
right.
You could definitely give them, I think, 3 stars. You don't need to go nuclear. It wasn't that big of a deal. They really believe
it. I agree,
it.
But I think even a 4-star is pretty nuclear in the Uber rating system.
It's
but,
bad.
Like, a 3 if you really want to ding them. But, like, yeah, or you can just write a comment to Uber. Like,
they should.
Know,
they need to be told.
The guy fired.
I almost feel, yeah, I guess you're right. They could get fired.
But also at the same time, like, maybe not. Like, maybe they will just like, I'm sure they don't fire people on the first offense for something like this, and they would have a strike system and, like, remind you of the rules that you signed when you came on and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that they avoid getting sued, you know?
I mean, it seems like OP in this case didn't have a chance to say something directly, because I always think that's the best thing. Then they get a chance, at least.
Do you think that this guy's gonna listen to you? Like,
no.
Exactly. I'm like, you know it's inappropriate. That's kind of why you're doing it, because nobody, otherwise you'd just be handing this out on the street, like, where people can walk away. Like,
yeah, you're right.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we agree on this one. Would I be the asshole for getting mad at the Uber driver for preaching? I think we're saying
no, but oh my gosh, you tipped NCAA. Him 20%. You gave him 5 stars.
Gave him the
mixed
middle tip
messages
and the
here
5 stars.
From the Uber driver.
Pretty ridiculous.
I'm like, come on.
I'm going to be an Uber driver and promote the podcast to see how long I can do
that
for.
Hand out the stickers.
One
see
by
if
one.
You get banned from Uber.
We'll see what happens. All right, folks. That's the app. Much love. And we'll see you next Monday morning. Bye.
Bye.